Imagine the scenario for a second. You've got a disgruntled financial analyst, right? And they get fired at exactly 9:00 a.m.
Okay.
By 9:01 a.m., they log into the company's cloud infrastructure, just from their phone in the elevator, and they casually delete a decade's worth of sensitive client data.
Ouch. Yeah, that's a disaster.
Right. And why did it happen? Because while HR processed the termination perfectly, someone in IT basically forgot to manually revoke their system access.
Which happens way more often than people think.
Exactly. It's a total nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
So today we are doing a deep dive into the ultimate test for the people who make sure that 9:01 a.m. disaster never happens.
It's honestly the defining security challenge of our era, really.
Thankfully.
Because, I mean, in today's IT landscape, the whole concept of a security perimeter has completely
Now,
evaporated.
the perimeter isn't like a firewall anymore.
Right, or a locked server room. The perimeter is now the digital identity of every single employee, contractor, and, even the automated bots operating on your network.
Which brings us to our mission for today. We're working from this highly detailed preparation guide, an FAQ, published by an institute called SailPoint Masters. And our goal is to extract the definitive roadmap to passing the 2026 SailPoint Identity IQ certification exam.
Usually just called IIQ in the industry.
Right, IIQ. But we're doing more than just, reciting a study guide. We're going to really unpack the architecture of identity and access management, or IAM. So whether you're an IT pro looking for a big career shift, or you're just, I don't know, insanely curious about how your own corporate access is governed behind the scenes.
Which is fascinating on its own.
It really is. You're going to walk away understanding exactly how these invisible systems operate.
And I should say, the stakes here are massive. This certification, it's not just a participation trophy.
Definitely not.
Companies are pouring billions into this because one compromised identity, like your 9:01 a.m. guy, can literally bring a global enterprise to its knees. So earning this credential proves you have that architectural mindset to actually design and govern these deeply complex environments.
Okay, let's unpack this because before we figure out how to study for the test, we really need to understand what this technology actually does. And I have to admit, I had some confusion right out of the gate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, why do we even need a massive platform like SailPoint for this? Doesn't something like Microsoft Active Directory already handle user passwords and logins?
Ah.
I mean, I log into my work computer every day using my Microsoft credentials, and it seems fine.
That is probably the single most common misconception in the industry, honestly.
Okay, glad it's not just me.
No, not at all. But here's the thing. Active Directory handles authentication, right? Not governance.
Authentication versus governance.
Right. To use a nightlife analogy, think of Active Directory as the bouncer at the front door of a club. They check your ID, they make sure you are who you say you are, and they let you in the building.
Make sure the face matches the card.
Exactly. But SailPoint Identity IQ, that's the club manager sitting in the back office. They're constantly updating the VIP list, telling the bouncer who's even allowed in tonight, and explicitly defining which specific rooms you can enter once you're inside.
Right, like who gets into the VIP lounge versus the main floor?
Precisely. And crucially, Identity IQ is an on-premise governance platform.
Okay, the guide makes a massive point of differentiating that from SailPoint ISC, right?
Yes, SailPoint ISC is their cloud-based SaaS solution. But this specific IIQ exam, it tests your ability to manage the on-premise software.
Meaning the software the company actually installs on its own physical servers?
Right. You have to understand the underlying architecture because you aren't just, renting a service. You're building the governance engine from the ground up inside their own data center.
Wow, okay. So we're building the manager in the back office. Now, the source breaks down the core concepts this manager handles, starting with identity lifecycle
It's a
management.
huge topic.
Yeah, and instead of using that old cliche about giving an employee the physical keys to the building, I kind of like visualizing it as this incredibly complex air traffic control system.
Oh, I like that. How's that map to the life cycle?
Well, so when an airplane enters a specific airspace, air traffic control doesn't just say, cool, you're here, fly wherever.
All right, that would be chaos.
Exactly. They give the plane a highly specific altitude and a corridor based on its current flight plan. And if the flight plan changes midair, the altitude clearance changes instantly.
Yeah.
And the second that plane lands and shuts down, its clearance to be in the sky is totally revoked. So identity lifecycle management operates basically the exact same way. It governs the birth, the movement, and the death of a digital identity.
What's fascinating here is how that movement phase-like, the middle of a life cycle, is actually where most companies fail.
Really? Not the onboarding or offboarding.
No, it's the moving around. So let's say an employee moves from human resources to the finance department. They obviously need new access clearances for the financial software, right?
Right, to do their new job.
But they also need their old HR access revoked simultaneously. And if the system only adds the new access without stripping the old access away, you get what's called privilege creep.
Privilege creep. So over like 5 or 10 years, an employee who's moved through 4 different departments just ends up having access to absolutely everything in the company.
Exactly. Accumulating permissions like a snowball.
Wow.
And if a hacker compromises that specific employee's account.
Oh, man, they instantly have keys to HR, finance, IT, marketing, everything.
All of it. And that is exactly why the lifecycle engine in SailPoint is so critical. It automates that provisioning and deprovisioning based on authoritative triggers from the HR system.
So it's listening to HR.
Right. When the HR database updates a job title, SailPoint detects that change and just automatically executes a workflow to calculate the new access profile and strip away the old one.
Which perfectly leads us to a concept the guide says is heavily tested, which is segregation of duties, or SOD.
Yes, SOD. It's actually a very old accounting principle, but Identity IQ translates it into digital security.
Basically, the idea that no single person should have enough system access to execute a potentially fraudulent action from start to finish all by themselves.
That's it. Exactly.
So, like, if I'm the person who submits a request for $1 million vendor payment, I absolutely cannot be the person who has the system permissions to approve that same payment.
Precisely. But the tricky part is, how does a massive, sprawling network actually enforce that?
Right, because no human is checking every single transaction.
No, of course not. So in SailPoint, you configure SOD policies at the architectural level. You define 2 conflicting entitlements. So say submit payment and approve payment.
Okay.
If a user already has the submit entitlement and their manager tries to grant them the approve entitlement, the Identity IQ engine runs a mathematical check against the SOD matrix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It physically blocks the provisioning engine from assigning that access. It just flags it as a violation, generates an alert, and forces a security review.
Okay. So that functional logic, understanding how the system checks that matrix and fires off an alert, that is exactly what the exam is hunting for.
Absolutely.
So let's actually look at the anatomy of the test itself. The guide breaks down where the points are, and they describe the exam as moderately challenging.
Which, in the IT certification world, moderately challenging is really just a polite way of saying you cannot read a textbook over the weekend and expect to pass.
Yeah, the breakdown totally confirms that. Hmm. Let's see, its identity lifecycle is 25%. Provisioning and policy is 20%.
Right.
Access review and governance is 20%. Security and administration is 20%. And requests and approvals make up the final 15%.
Yep, that's the spread.
So doing the math, that's 65% of your score tied up in lifecycle, provisioning, and governance.
A massive chunk.
Yeah. So looking at that, I just have to assume that memorizing a stack of flashcards, defining what SOD means, is going to be completely useless. Like, you actually have to know how the machine works.
You're hitting on the exact reason the failure rate for unprepared candidates is so high.
I can imagine.
Because the exam uses scenario-based questions. You aren't going to get a multiple-choice question asking for the dictionary definition of provisioning.
What does it look like instead?
You'll get this complex paragraph that says, Employee X was transferred to Department Y. The automated provisioning engine successfully granted the new roles, but the deprovisioning policy failed to revoke their previous active directory groups. The logs show a null reference error.
Oh, boy.
And it asks, where in the SailPoint schema do you look to fix this?
Ouch. Yeah, flashcards will not save you there at all.
Not at all.
You literally have to be able to visualize the workflow in your head.
Take that 20% chunk dedicated to access review and governance, right? A massive part of that is recertification.
Recertification. What does that mean in practice?
Well, in the real world, auditors require managers to periodically look at a list of everything their employees have access to and certify it. They have to formally declare, yes, they still need this, or no, they don't.
I feel like without a system like SailPoint, that is just a manager getting an email with like a 500-item spreadsheet full of cryptic server names,
yeah.
And they just blindly click approve all so they can get back to their real job.
Which is exactly what happens, and it's a massive compliance failure.
Right.
So SailPoint solves this by translating those cryptic IT entitlements into readable business descriptions and then routes them through an automated recertification campaign.
So to pass the exam, you need to know how to configure the workflows that generate those campaigns.
Exactly. How the system handles a manager's revocation decision, how it tracks the fulfillment of that revocation, all the way down to the target system, all of it.
Okay, because flashcards are useless for that level of depth, we need a practical strategy here. And the source actually provides a step-by-step roadmap for building that real-world muscle memory.
It's a solid roadmap, too.
It is. Step one is starting with the official SailPoint documentation. They specify you need to deeply understand the architecture, the data models, and the schema.
Think of the documentation as your architectural blueprints. You have to understand the foundational data models, like how objects actually relate to each other in the database, before you can even think about writing custom code or configuring rules.
Makes sense. And that leads directly to step two, which is practice labs. This is where the guide says you have to get your hands dirty building things like identity cubes, running aggregations, configuring provisioning engines.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. But I want to pause on identity cubes for a second because it sounds like a prop from a sci-fi movie. What is an identity cube under the hood?
An identity cube is basically the beating heart of SailPoint IAQ.
Okay.
Think of it as a multidimensional centralized profile of a user. Because the problem in a massive enterprise is that data about an employee is scattered absolutely everywhere.
Right. HR has a database. IT has one.
Active Directory has a directory. The cloud applications have their own local user tables. The identity cube pulls all of that scattered data into one unified 360-degree view.
Okay, but how does the aggregation actually handle conflicts? Like, let's say the HR database says my legal name is Jonathan, but my Active Directory profile was set up 5 years ago as just John.
Ah, classic issue.
When the system tries to pull those into a single identity cube, how does it know they're the same person and which name does it trust?
If we connect this back to the bigger picture of the exam prep, understanding that specific conflict resolution is crucial.
Really?
Yes. During aggregation, Identity IQ uses reconciliation algorithms and attribute mapping. In your lab, you actually have to write a correlation rule.
A correlation rule?
Right. The rule tells the system, if the employee ID in HR matches the employee ID in Active Directory, link these two accounts to the same identity cube.
Okay, that links them. But what about John versus Jonathan?
That's where you configure authoritative sources. You tell SailPoint, for the first name attribute, HR is always the source of truth.
Whoa.
So the cube overwrites John with Jonathan automatically.
Okay, so in step two, you're physically spinning up a virtual machine, connecting mock databases, and writing those correlation rules just to see if the engine actually builds the cube correctly.
Exactly. You're doing the actual work.
But here's where the source gets a little funny. It gives us step one, it gives us step two, and then it skips step three completely.
Oh, the mysterious missing step three.
It jumps straight to step four, which is participating in study groups and forums like Reddit and LinkedIn IAM groups.
Yeah. In reality, step three is probably the moment your correlation rule fails, your identity cube corrupts, and you spend like 8 hours staring at error logs wondering why you chose this career path.
Which makes jumping to community forums incredibly logical.
Absolutely. The jump to forums highlights a really vital truth about IT engineering. When you hit a wall in a practice lab, the official documentation often won't have the specific answer for your highly customized error.
You need an actual human who's been there.
You need to talk to other developers who have encountered that exact null pointer exception while mapping HR attributes, yeah.
Then we hit step five, mock tests. The guide emphasizes that you should practice these scenario-based exams until you're consistently scoring above 80%.
Yep.
And they make an interesting point. It's not just about finding the right answer. It's about improving your speed and identifying weak areas before the real clock starts ticking.
Speed is the silent killer on these exams.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When you're presented with a dense 5-paragraph scenario detailing a failure in a provisioning workflow, you have to be able to read the architecture matrix in your head instantly.
Wow.
If you spend 5 minutes just rereading the scenario because you aren't fluent in how SailPoint structures its policies, you're just going to run out of time.
So that 80% benchmark is really your indicator that you've transitioned from just translating concepts to actually speaking the language fluently.
Exactly.
That brings up the timeline the source provides. They outline two tracks, basically. A 20 to 30 day track for basic knowledge and light daily practice, or a 45 to 60 day track for complete prep involving heavy labs and mock tests. Given the immense complexity of, you know, attribute mapping, correlation rules, and SOD matrices, is 20 days just a recipe for disaster?
For someone totally new to the platform, absolutely.
Yeah, that seems way too fast.
The 45 to 60 day track is honestly the only realistic path to true comprehension. The physical act of typing out configurations, making mistakes, reading the error logs, and fixing the workflow doing that daily is what shifts the knowledge from short-term memorization to long-term architectural understanding.
You need time for the brain to absorb it.
This 6-to-8 window gives your brain the necessary time to build those problem-solving pathways. Rushing it in 20 days means you might recognize terms on a test, but you're gonna freeze when asked to fix a broken provisioning engine in a live enterprise.
Okay, so let's look at the return on investment here. You dedicate 60 grueling days. You're dreaming in identity cubes.
Waking up in a cold sweat about correlation rules.
Exactly. You've survived the Reddit forums, your mock test scores are peaking, and you finally pass this exam. You've essentially surrendered 2 months of your life to this platform. What is the real world payoff?
A fundamentally transformed career trajectory. Truly.
Not that big.
Yeah, because the certification prees you can execute, not just theorize. The source is very explicit about the doors this opens. It qualifies you for high-value, specialized roles like IAM consultant, IIQ implementation specialist, security architect, identity governance analyst.
So it sounds like this certification is almost like a VIP passport that moves you out of general IT support and straight into the high-stakes world of enterprise security architecture.
And the compensation definitely reflects that leap. The guide highlights that passing this exam significantly increases your salary potential in the IAM domain.
Which makes sense given the stakes we talked about earlier.
Right now, companies are drowning in information overload. They are terrified of the next massive security breach. They're absolutely desperate for professionals who have validated hands-on skills.
They don't just want theory.
No, they don't want someone who can talk about the theory of a firewall. They need someone who can mathematically guarantee that a rogue employee can't wire $1 million to an offshore account.
I noticed the source also highlights something really valuable for bridging that gap between passing a test and actually landing that security architect job.
Oh, the mentorship piece.
Yeah. The institute that provided this roadmap, SailPoint Masters out of Hyderabad, they offer career-focused mentorship and real-time projects.
Right.
They seem to really recognize that earning the certification is only half the battle. Applying it to messy, unpredictable corporate environments is what makes you truly employable.
That is such a critical insight. Because the transition from a clean, perfectly structured practice lab to a live enterprise environment where data is messy, HR systems are outdated, managers constantly bypass protocols.
Oh, shit, it's a nightmare.
It is incredibly daunting.
Yeah.
So working on simulated real-time projects under the guidance of a mentor bridges that gap.
It gives you that practical edge.
Exactly. It ensures that when you sit down for an interview for an IAM consultant role, you aren't just reciting textbook definitions. You can speak confidently about how you solved complex provisioning failures and handled data reconciliation conflicts in environments that actually mirror the real world.
It really is a comprehensive journey. So to sort of summarize what we've extracted for you today, SailPoint Identity IQ is the on-premise governance engine that essentially acts as the air traffic control for an enterprise's digital identities.
A perfect way to put it.
And passing this exam requires you to abandon flashcards. Instead, you need to spend 45 to 60 days in practice labs, physically building out correlation rules, segregation of duties matrices, and automated workflows.
Get your hands dirty.
Exactly. But mastering that complexity fundamentally levels up your career, turning you into a highly sought-after security architect.
It's worth the grind.
And honestly, for you listening, whether you're prepping to actually take this exam, looking to understand a new field, or just purely curious, you now have a fundamentally different view of how corporate networks operate.
Absolutely.
The next time you request access to a sensitive shared folder at work and it gets approved automatically, you know exactly what kind of invisible, complex machinery is operating behind the scenes to make sure that access is granted and eventually revoked safely.
It is a massive invisible infrastructure that protects our entire digital economy every single day.
Yeah.
But, you know, this raises an important question based on everything we've explored today.
Oh, what's that?
Well, SailPoint IIQ focuses heavily on configuring rule-based workflows, mapping attributes, and managing the current lifecycle of digital identities manually.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So as artificial intelligence and machine learning become deeply integrated into enterprise networks, will the role of the IAM professional fundamentally shift?
Oh, wow.
Like, will the future of this career move away from manually configuring these rigid rules and instead evolve into governing AI agents that can automatically analyze human behavior, predict exactly what access you need for a specific project, and provision it safely before you even realize you need it?
Man, that is a wild concept. If digital identity is the security manager setting the rules, it really makes you wonder what happens when that manager is an AI capable of rewriting its own rules in real time to stop a threat.
It's going to change everything.
Definitely something to keep an eye on as the industry evolves.